Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here again this morning. And Father, we desire not just to be touched by your word, not just to be aware of your presence in a minor way, but Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us in ways that we'll walk away and we'll say, you know, God was so clearly there. And I ask, Father, please, that you'll bless that, that you'll bless your word, that you will preach your word, that you accomplish what you want to through it. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today is part two of our message from last week. Last week, of course, the message today as well, but the message is entitled, The Wind Beneath Our Wings. And you've got the picture of the eagle up there. We were mentioning last week that there are thermal columns that arise from the surface of the earth, and an eagle can identify those thermal columns and hit them and fly longer distances, fly at higher levels with less energy than the birds that fly without the thermal uplifts, those columns, that are flapping their wings fast and going a shorter distance and not as high and more exhausted. It really is a picture of the Holy Spirit lifting us up, empowering us to do what he would have us to do. It's the Holy Spirit that wants to do God-sized things in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that wants to do things that we never thought were possible with our lives. And so we need to be able to clearly identify when the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of our heart, when the Holy Spirit is compelling us to do something, when the Holy Spirit is empowering us to be what he wants us to be, in order for us to discover the height or the distance that God wants us to discover in him, that he wants to accomplish through our lives, only through him and by his grace. And by, being that it's by his grace, we also recognize that it's not by our power. And so when God calls us to do something, we rely on the Holy Spirit. The power of God enables us to do that. And we recognize that in our own heart. We go, you know what? I know that wasn't me. I know that I couldn't do that. I know that God did that. And I'm still amazed that that happened. That's the type of life that God wants us to experience in him, a life of surprise, a life of adventure, a life that takes us higher and further than we could expect by the grace of God, not by our own strength. The interesting thing about this is that all of us know this, that all of us have received the same Holy Spirit. That means all of us have the same equipping to do whatever God has called us and proposed for each one of us to do. And in that, God, by his Spirit, will unite us together as we use those gifts that God wants us to use in him. And so like we've talked about the last few weeks, the church is a body with different parts, and each part has its function, and each function is important to the body, and together we can be a vessel that can not only do the things that God would have us to do, but identify what God is telling us to do. And that's different from us identifying what we look at and evaluate as being good and glorifying to God. It should always be where we identify the Holy Spirit confirming that, leading that, promoting that. So we're responsive to him and not to our own design and purpose as a church. So when a church is filled with the Holy Spirit, God can turn the world upside down. I love that. The key is never our abilities, but the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us to accomplish God's will. Now, the wonderful thing in addition to that is that it's never our ability. That means we don't have to be afraid of the failure if we rely on God and his grace. Does that make sense? God is calling, God is equipping, we're relying on him and not our own abilities. Then God will show us his ability working through us, his power working through us, his Holy Spirit working through us to do what? To accomplish what God wants to do through us, individually and, of course, collectively as a church. This was seen many times in the lives of the apostles in the early church, okay? In Acts 17:6, it says, "But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down,'" there's that phrase again, "'have come here too.'" They couldn't turn the world upside down by their own power or their own ability. It was God working through them to turn the world upside down, to have great impact on the world around them for the cause of Christ. So the Spirit of God is resident to perform everything the Lord wants to do in our lives and in our church. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 reminds us that God Himself is the power working in us. How many of you have recognized the power of God working in you? Can you identify a time in your walk with Jesus where you could see, know, and identify God's power working in you? That's what God wants us to identify. That's what God wants us to experience. And so Ephesians 3:20 and 21 again says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Do we see what he's saying there? That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think, according to his power. We can't ask or think in accordance to the great things that God wants to do in our lives and in our church. What a wonderful opportunity. But how many of us pass the opportunity because we're not like that eagle that wants to identify those spiritual thermal columns, lifting them up? We have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to sustain us and to carry us in the direction that God wants us to go. Paul acknowledged his own weakness and fear, but God did his work by the demonstration of his Spirit's power through him. In other words, when you think about the Apostle Paul, you think about how great of a servant of Christ he was. That most of the epistles were written by the Apostle Paul. Most of them were used to build the foundation of the church. And in that, Paul says, as a preacher, he's lousy. That's what he says. He says, I'm not smooth in talking. I'm not good at talking or preaching. But the word of God goes out and God demonstrates his power. My wife's relative, years and years ago, I was reading about this morning, and he was an athletic person, but he was called in the ministry, and he was just, forgive me honey, but weird in the way he preached. Back in the day when hellfire and brimstone, he would twist and jump and yell. They said that in one sermon that he would run from one end of the pulpit to the other end of the pulpit area of the platform. And they estimated that during one sermon he would have run a mile during the preaching. That was Billy Sunday. And so they still saw the power of God work through him. The idea here is that God works through the Apostle Paul. He worked through Billy Sunday. He works through whomever he calls to work through. Now, I'm not just talking about pastors or preachers or evangelists. I'm talking about you and me. God can do whatever he wants. In 1 Corinthians 2:1-5, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." Catch that? The great Apostle Paul. God called him to do things where he recognized that he was weak, that he was afraid, and that he trembled as a result of it. But he relied on the power of the Holy Spirit to carry him through. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He rejoiced in the fact that he was not an eloquent speaker. He rejoiced in the fact that he saw his weaknesses, his fear, and that caused him to tremble.
Why did he rejoice? Because he saw the power of God work through him. And not only did he recognize it, but the people listening to him recognized the very power of the Holy Spirit to where only God could get the glory. And so that's something that we need to remember, because we too have the opportunity to be used of God in the way that we recognize the Holy Spirit working through us, but that others see it as well. They see God's grace. They see God's power. They see him working in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 3:5-8, it says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." In other words, what's important is that each one of us are using the abilities that he's given us. It's not important to who gets credit, because all of us jointly are called and are involved in the work of God. And each one of us, that's important. That's what that verse is saying. Henry Blackaby states, quote, "Another way to think of the parts working together is one built a loving relationship, another spoke a witness, yet others welcomed and ushered when they came to worship. The pastor preached, the music inspired many, prayed faithfully, then God gave the increase, and all rejoiced together. God works through the entire body, all members, functioning where God has placed them. The Holy Spirit enables each, by working in them, to bring a lost person to faith in Christ." So you have to ask the question, or we have to ask the question, are we that part of the body? If you're a believer in Christ, we are. If we're here, this is the body he wants us to be a part of. Have we identified what gifts that we have? And we can start by looking at our own natural interests and abilities and how we can use them in God's house. And collectively work together as a functioning body for the glory of God. The Holy Spirit equips every member to edify and build up the body. Do you know when a person is serving in this church, when a person is using their abilities in this church, that I'm encouraged and others are encouraged to see the commitment of service and the growth in their lives and the encouragement it gives us to grow as well? It builds up and it edifies the church, doesn't it? If we all saw each one doing their own thing and involved in church the way God plans for them to be, would we not be encouraged to say, look, we're all buzzing around here doing what God wants us to do? Isn't that awesome? And that would glorify God. As we help each member grow into maturity, Christ will then have a healthy body whom he can accomplish the Father's will. When we grow more and more in maturity in Christ, especially as a body in Christ, we become healthy. That means church bodies can be unhealthy, unproductive, and not know the assignments that God has for them. And the reason is because God's people need to take seriously God's call on their life. The God's people in Romans 12 are called to be living sacrifices, not affected by the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind in Christ. And so we need to remember that. Burden bearing, caring, restoring, rejoicing, weeping with our fellow members in the body is critical to our church functioning as a healthy body. We've talked a lot about the individual parts being part of the body, being a healthy body working together, but what does the body do? It carries burdens for each other. We have to know those burdens. It is caring. When we're walking in the Spirit, when we're serving as God has called us to, then we naturally become that much more caring for one another. We're called to be restoring when those that walk away need to be restored to be encouraged in their faith. We will be people that rejoice together when we see the wonders of God working in and amongst us. And we will weep with one another when times of weeping have occurred. And so it's critical that we are that nurturing, loving, caring, identifying body of believers as God has put us together. In Galatians 6:1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Humbly go to brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them to restore them to that proper relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians 12:26 through 27, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." The closer we're connected with each other, the more we relate to each other in our own circumstances and caring for, hurting with, and rejoicing with each other. In 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19, it says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." We're called to bring the lost to a reconciled relationship with God. Before they sinned as a child, they were saved. They were secure because they didn't know sin yet. They never consciously sinned. And when they sin, when we sin, then our relationship with God is broken. Having said that, I believe little babies, little children that don't understand what sin is, have a closer relationship with God. But there are people that will obviously sin, and our job is to reconcile them to a right relationship with God. We're to reconcile one another to a right relationship with God when we're not walking with him as his children as well. In Philippians 2, 3, and 4, it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." I was talking to somebody recently who connected to another church out of this city, that they were explaining to me that with their new pastor that came in, that new pastor was introducing things to that church to help bring them out of their comfort zone, out of that box that they put them in, so they can be the people that God wants them to be. The result is that 80% of the people in that church body were digging their heels into the dirt, saying, "We don't want to budge, we like it here." That's not looking out to the needs of others. That's looking out for our own needs. Because if we are willing to hear what God wants us to hear and to do what God has called us to do, our heels won't be dug into the dirt except to hold true to the Word of God. And we are encouraged and edify the body and build the body and encourage one another to be what God wants us to be. So we must put others first in our body. We must not say, "I want it this way, and if you don't get it, I'm going to throw a temper tantrum, or I'm going to get mad," or whatever. That's not being a loving brother or sister in Christ. What we need to do is think about others before we think about ourselves. So again, our goal should be to help others in our church to grow in holiness. That's a responsibility. We're to help each other to grow more and more in their relationship with Christ, which is not walking in sin, but walking in righteousness. Living lives that are holy, living lives that are sanctified, set apart for God's kingdom work. Those aren't things that make us arrogant. Those are things that God requires of us in order to be that vessel that God wants us to be. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." In other words, if we're not conducting ourselves in a right way, a loving way, with people, especially the lost, they won't see the Lord. They won't come to know him through faith in Jesus Christ. Likewise, if we are not walking with the Lord and we are not being what God wants us to be,
then in holiness or righteousness and sanctification, then we won't see the Lord. Not eternally. We're all guaranteed that. We'll see Jesus when we go to heaven. But we won't see him as you see my face and I see your face, where we can identify each other. We will not be able to see the distinctive characteristics of Jesus identified as he reveals himself to us, because we're not wanting to walk in the path that God wants us to walk. In 1 Peter 1:14-16, it says, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" I don't know about you, but there are many a day where I repeat that verse to me, especially the part that says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And I contend with the little spiritual warfare where the enemy says, "Holy, right. Who are you kidding?" And God says, "You are holy in me through the blood of Christ, and I call you as my child to walk in light, his light, which is a holy standard." And so it's a plumb line for us to say, are we walking the way God wants us to? That's walking and being holy as God is holy. We're to reflect the character of our Heavenly Father. That's what God has called us to do. We should always be willing to let others in this body help us when we need help. A lot of people don't have a problem helping people. There are a lot of people that have a problem letting others help them. You ever run into somebody like that? They can be very, very helpful, but if you ask them if they want help, no. We're robbing each other of the blessing of ministering to each other. God wants that. And so we should always be willing to let others in this body help us when we need help. Pride and self-sufficiency are the devil's tools for hindering us. We need to be willing to be open and transparent with one another as God leads us. So, how do we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our church body and through it? One, evaluate your walk with the Lord. Are you free from unrepented sin and able to let the Holy Spirit work? Are you serving in this body? Are you helping others in this body? And use the little card we talked about in the announcements. Things you can do that you can help, or needs that you have as well. Before I conclude, I want to go over one other thing in here. And that is that Henry Blackaby lists 6 principles of power that will help us to evaluate our church. So ask yourself these questions about our church. Is any activity or attitude in our church contrary to the Father's will? That takes some serious thought. Is any activity or attitude in our church contrary to the Father's will? If there is, the Holy Spirit is not being allowed to work, because he will never work contrary to the will of the Father. And the key is that we do what God is leading us to do as the head of the body, not what we want to do. The Holy Spirit won't assist us that way. Are sin and unbelief present in your church? If there is, the Holy Spirit's not free to work. You know, if we come to church but we live like we want outside of church, then God's not going to bless you or the church by the evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, is God's name honored in our church? Do we lift up God? Do we honor him by our actions? Do we seek to glorify him and praise him for the things that he does? If not, the Holy Spirit cannot work here. Does our church want the Holy Spirit to work through us? I mean, ask the question, do we want the Holy Spirit to work through us? And if we're not focused or desiring that, then he won't. Does our church attempt to accomplish only what is reasonable according to budget and personnel, or do we attempt God-sized tasks? In other words, if we only operate within our own means, as cliche as that has been or been become, then we will only see accomplishments that reflect who we are. But if we're willing to seek the Holy Spirit, then we'll discover the accomplishments that are God-sized that God wants to do through us. And the result will be, God did that. and how wonderful it is to be a part of. And number six, does our church give glory and honor to God for all that happens within the body? We should be coming back in church and sharing with one another, even at potlucks or get-togethers or work days or whatever projects or ministries we have going on, and say, God did something to me this week. God showed me something this week. I learned something special this week. We should be sharing what God has been doing in and through our lives with each other so that we can be that encouragement that builds up the church as well. So the Holy Spirit empowers and enables the church to function as a living body of Christ. He brings the body to a caring heart and the ability to work together for a common purpose. That's why we're here. To work together for a common purpose is to work together for God's kingdom plan for this church. This church will never figure out what God wants it to do if we are not willing to walk in His Spirit and unite as a body. Now, we do that independently, but the question is, we have to check with ourselves, are we walking each day, each week, as God intends for us to do? And are we passionate about the work that God wants to do through us? Look around. Look around and answer that question. Revival would come quickly if each church and each member in the church is lived as his or her life as God designed and purposed. Jesus knew the purpose that God the Father had for him. In John 6:37-39, he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is Jesus, God in the flesh, part of the Trinity, saying, I only want to do the will of the Father, not my own. Isn't that what our heart should be? To do the will of the Father and not our own? To not design our lives the way we want to, but to follow the design and purpose that God wants to do in and through our lives. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And so Jesus took seriously the watch care of his people. Whoever the Father gave him, he made sure that they were secured. Whoever comes through these doors, we're to do our best to encourage them that they will grow and desire that much more to be here. That's what God wants us to do. And so in the same way, God is the one who sends people to us, and we must receive all he brings our way. As each person joins together in this body by the Holy Spirit's unification process, the Holy Spirit, his presence, becomes the life of the church. As we come together, God's Spirit becomes that much more evident. And as each body part functions where God put it, the whole body responds to Christ, and the Father's will is accomplished in the world through his people. So, isn't that the most wonderful picture that we could have for this church body? United, loving, caring, involved, sharing, focused, discovering the work, the plans, the assignments that God wants to do in our personal lives and in this church body together for God's kingdom work. We are a body. And so we need to pray. We need to walk with the Lord. We need to seek his face. And we need to discover together the things that God wants us to do. May God bless this word. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I ask, Father, please, that you glorify your Son. Oh, Lord, just help us and help us to encourage others. And help us, Father, to pray for others. And help us to walk in righteousness and your light. Help us to be your people. Help us to be so distinctively yours that we will see it in each other, and those around us that live in the world will identify with that and say they're a Christian. And may our lives and may this church be used of you, be available to you to accomplish all you want to do for your glory and your kingdom work. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.